Let us pray. As you spoke to Joseph in dreams, as your spirit spoke to Mary, speak to us now through your word, that by hearing we too may receive in faith and be strengthened to do your will. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning was taken from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. This can be found on page 1, the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. Reading from Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. Hear what the Spirit says to the church. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had born a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
For many years now, I've walked my dog Sophie in Fish Creek Park. Recently, I was aware of some movement out of the corner of my eye. As I've learned to do, I stopped and watched. Even though it seemed like there was nothing amiss, at first glance, you could see nothing except for grass. But in time, I could see some rustling of the grass not too far away. Then a flicker of a tail. Then a muzzle briefly pointing up and sniffing the air, and I counted five coyotes creeping through the grass heading my way. Then all movement seemed to stop. I couldn't see them anymore, but I had a choice to make, whether to act in response or continue to walk as I had planned. Sophie and I turned around and headed for safety. But it got me to thinking, first about when I arrived here and walked in the park. I didn't ever see any coyotes then. How many times had I missed the signs of their presence? Over the years, with practice, I have become more able to realize that I am not alone, and Sophie and I are not alone. It is rare for me to go out on a walk and not see any coyotes, even in broad daylight. Like being oblivious to coyotes, I think that I am, or perhaps we are, often oblivious to God's presence with us. We say we believe, but we bustle about through our busy lives without paying any attention to what God may be or is doing. Unless, of course, we need something. Then we pay attention. I began to see parallels between my experience of learning to look for coyotes and my journey of faith. There is a need to be intentional about watching for signs of God's presence, to be alert for God's activity, to make space for God, and for a growing awareness of what God is doing. These are the tasks of Advent in the church. This week, we focus on God's love for us, Emmanuel, God with us, and begin to look at all that can mean for us through remembering stories, stories of how God acted in the past, how people understood God's presence with them throughout history, and learning of God's promises and how God promises to act. We can be ready to recognize those signs in our lives and be intentional then about following when we hear and recognize that we are not alone. If we're not alert or ready to see the surprising ways God's presence is revealed around us, we can miss out on opportunities to know God's light in our darkness or to share the light to others in theirs. Our scripture is a story of God's Spirit moving in surprising and unexpected, in fact, unprecedented ways. It centers on God's presence revealed through the journey of faith of two ordinary people who were used by God to bring God's Son into the world, God's physical presence into the world. The gospel writer Matthew says the birth of Jesus took place this way. A young girl still waiting for her wedding night had an encounter with an angel. With the result, she found herself with child by the Holy Spirit, Matthew says. It sounds so simple, so easy, but those words don't do justice to the life-changing effects they had on Mary. Life could never be the same for her. The life of faith for her, following and obeying God, was not just a belief or head exercise anymore. It was a full body exercise. And from the outside, it looked anything but a holy story. Instead, it was one that was tinged with shame and a sense of wrongdoing, even though no wrongdoing had occurred. For Mary, it was a challenge. She was having a baby and she was not married in a time that was not even a possibility. She must have wondered how anyone would believe that the Holy Spirit had put a child in her. She must have wondered how she would explain to Joseph and her family and worried about how they would respond. The real risk was that as a betrothed woman, she could be stoned for adultery or cast out to raise a fatherless child as a widow. As she took the steps, encountered reactions to those closest to her, and they were not all positive, she and others must have wondered how God could be part of such an outrageous plan. Yet Matthew tells us this is precisely the way that God chose to come into the world, through the struggles and everyday living of a poor girl in an out-of-the-way place in an occupied territory. God was not just with Mary in a spiritual sense, but God was coming into the world through Mary. Although at times it must have seemed to Mary that God was abandoning her to darkness, even as she wondered that, God continued to work behind the scenes and inside of her to prepare the way for Christ. In Mary's darkness, God's light was already shining, albeit for a time hidden and unseen. Can you imagine what would have happened if Mary had not trusted and obeyed God? Although this story is really about God acting in the world, Matthew also focuses on the action of Joseph. Matthew stresses that Joseph was a man who was kind, who tried to obey God in his life. He calls him a righteous man. So when Joseph found out the girl to whom he was betrothed was pregnant, and he knew it was not by him, he was understandably upset. as a betrothed woman to conceive a child by another man was considered adultery. As a righteous man, Joseph knew that God's law was clear in such cases. The punishment was stoning. It must have been difficult for him to feel betrayed by Mary, confused by her explanation, conflicted by his desire to do the right things in the eyes of God, while every choice looked wrong. He obviously was compassionate, for although he suspected the worst, charging her with adultery would be the easiest course for him, and it would adhere to the letter of the law, he decided on a compromise, to put her away quietly, says Matthew, which would free Mary to marry the father of the child or to cover up the pregnancy in another way. Based on everything Joseph had been taught, he believed this is what God would want him to do. But God was active in ways that Joseph had never contemplated before. In his darkness and in the dark of night, God intruded on his dreams, disturbing Joseph's carefully laid plans and decisions, disturbing Joseph's assumptions of what was holy and right. And God called Joseph to choose to follow a difficult path. Joseph recognized God's voice, trusted God's voice above the voices around him, the voices of culture and religion, and he made the choice to obey, to trust God in what seemed impossible, that the child was God's. It would be a sacrificial act, an act of love, love of God, a love for God's way above all others, and in his obedience, Joseph's life and the world would never be the same. Joseph obeyed God, marrying Mary, and when he came along, he named his child Jesus, God saves, as God directed. The birth of Jesus happened this way, through two people who were open to God, who trusted and obeyed God, even though it seemed difficult. And God used the words and actions of two seemingly ordinary people to bring light into the darkness. The truth is that this story is permeated with God's mystery and God's presence, even though a lot of times it was unseen. But the truth is also that the world is still permeated with God's mystery and God's presence, even though at times it's hard to see. God is on the move in the world. God continues to come to us, just as God came into the world in the flesh, in a baby whose father obeyed God and named him Jesus. God continues to breathe purpose into the world and into ordinary people like you and like me, changing the way we understand ourselves and our place in the world, calling us to be alert for what God is doing, to recognize God's voice and respond in word and action to the light that God gives, to bring the light of God's presence to the darkness in the world. The truth is, we may never know how God has used our words and actions, but that God continues to use words and actions of people, of you or me or those around us, just as God did long ago. A few years ago, I was having a difficult day at a difficult time in my life. I headed out on a snowy sidewalk towards a coffee shop. On the way, I passed a street person holding out an empty cup, looking for some change. I walked by, I nodded and said hello, but kept my hands in my pocket. The man looked me in the eye and smiled and said, "God bless you." As I continued towards the coffee shop, I was strangely affected by that blessing. Perhaps one would have expected God's blessing to come from inside the church, from colleagues or congregants. But at the time, I couldn't remember the last time someone had spoken those words to me. God bless you. Amid a difficult time in my life, those words reminded me God was with me. We never know who God will use. So be alert. As usual, this past week, I visited people in hospitals and hospice, hoping that my presence would be a reminder that God is with each person I visit. I never know what God is doing. Sometimes I wonder why I'm there. But this week I received an email from a relative of a person I visited to let me know of the peace and the comforting reminder that God was with them that happened because of my words, my presence, and my prayer. We never know how God might use our poor words, might use us to reveal God's presence, to encourage the weary. Today, we have a mitten tree. All of us have participated in decorating it, in creating a visible reminder of God's love in tangible ways in the world and to show the light of God's presence. We have been led by our children who acted in faith. We never know how God might use our actions to reveal God's presence. So let's make space in our lives for God's light and be ready to share the light and the love God gives. For God is on the move, continuing to bring light into the darkness in the world and in us. God is with us. Amen.